move your feet. On the upbeat, so come on and dance with me. Cause life is bitter, life is sweet, and it's got you on the edge of your seat. But you know that life is better, it's always better on the upbeat.
You are my fire, the one desire. And you are listening to On the Upbeat. I am your host, Matt Vest. And I'm the only regular host here this week. RJ's internet decided it did not want to work properly. So RJ is not here. We're not going to be able to start with Mountain Dew facts because I'm not that into Mountain Dew. So sad for you Mountain Dew heads out there. But we do have a guest this week. We have Bex from Joystick. Hi, Bex.
Hi. Long time no talk. Happy to be back.
Yeah. So we are, of course, excited to have you. How are things going? How was your weekend?
Things are good. Keeping busy over here with the holiday season. Just starting to get into full swing. I started working a side job about a month ago at my local Home Goods. So I worked all weekend, and then we decorated a Christmas tree last night. So all things considered, we're getting into the holly jolly spirit. things are good.
Do you generally find yourself a Christmassy person?
Not really, no. I mean, like, I don't know. Holidays are tough for me, but, like, I'm very much fake it till you make it. but my partner's family is also, like, very, very, very Christmassy. We've been together 7 years now, so, like, his family has kind of gotten me out of being a Grinch, but like my side of the family, they're like, they just don't want anything to do with it. My dad is getting all Grinch and Bah Humbug things for Christmas this year. So, you know, but we're getting there. We do like to decorate. So that helps a little bit.
So you said you started working at your local, like a home goods store, you said?
Yep. Yep.
How was that for Thanksgiving weekend? How did that go?
So it's funny because like it's a second job for me. So right. I'm just like, I moonlight, like I'm there one night a week and then two weekend mornings. And like, it's kind of great, actually. Like I told myself I would never work retail ever again. I've been working the same cushy office job for the past like 5 years.
Yeah.
But like, I don't hate it. It's kind of nice. I can kind of just like, as long as I can wake up at 5:30 in the morning and be there for 7, I just kind of like turn my brain off and do work. And it's not terrible. The discount is nice. But like, I don't know. It's weird though too, because like everything at like Marshall's and Home Goods is discounted. So I don't think people go there rushing in for like Black Friday deals.
True,
but like
true.
In the past I've worked in malls and stuff. And yeah. I mean, that's like, ugh, that I will never ever do that again. We'll see. Maybe in another 5 years, I'll end up working a mall job again or something. I don't know. I hope not. But
do you think part of the sort of the reason it's maybe not as stressful is because you have a day job that like this doesn't feel like the grind? Like, man, if I lose this job or it falls through, or like you can kind of lose it and your life doesn't fall apart.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Which is like, I don't really like being in that attitude or in that mindset, but at the same time I'm like, whatever, at this point I'm just trying to make extra cash, and if I'm not making money at my good old local Home Goods, I am spending it. So you know, I'm like, yeah. it kind of almost counters itself out. I don't know, there, that's girl math or something for you.
I don't know what girl math is. How's that work out?
That's girl math. If you spend all your money, you just go get a job so you can get a discount there.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah. But, I worked Target for 7 years and a lot of holidays in that. And there's a tiny part of me that misses it in the sense, because there's some stuff that I would just sit back and laugh at that just like, this is chaotically stupid. Like, what is happening here? What is going on? So there's a part of me that would sit back and laugh. And then, you know, meanwhile, you watch these managers running and pulling their hair out and trying to freak out about, oh, there isn't enough this and not enough people. And I'm just like, what are you going to do?
Oh, yeah.
Does not go well. But then
yeah, it's like if you've worked retail during the holidays, it's like you know, there's just like a universal unwritten language that's there somewhere.
Yeah. I was listening to We Are the Unions, they did a holiday song a few years back. It was I'm working retail for Christmas or something like that. And I related to the song so much. There's a line is like, I would move if you just asked. Like, you don't actually have to push me. Yeah.
Yeah, that resonates.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so that's enough chit-chat. We are going to jump into some ska news. Here we go. Rude girls and rude boys too. Grab your friends and listen to what we're telling you. I'm sorry, you might have heard, but Gavin, you're about to miss me in ska news. Yes, ska news, where we tell you about the latest releases. At least all that we can fit into a short segment. Well, first up, guess what we're going to tell you about? We're going to tell you about something on the upbeat related. And so on this coming Friday, December 1st, we are releasing a holiday ska compilation. Originally, this holiday compilation started with Backyard Superheroes. For a few years, they did A Rose Such a Clatter. And then a few years back, Gary asked us to help, and then we started helping. And so we're this Friday releasing A Rose Such a Clatter, Ska in Your Stocking. And all the proceeds will go to Toys for Tots. This compilation will feature songs from Millington, the Taj Mahal Trio, the Guilty Parties, Andy B and the World, the Ruffalos, the Classy Rex, Coolidge, and many more. So we're going to take a moment and listen to part of a song from the band Classy Rex. And it is a song called, oh my gosh, I totally forgot. I should look at things. Have a Lousy Christmas. So this is Have a Lousy Christmas by the Classy Rex. A Rose Such a Clatter, Ska in Your Stockings will be out on Friday, December 1st, on our Bandcamp page. So you'll be able to go there, and like I said, all proceeds will go to Toys for Tots. Next up, we have something new from The Inevitables. Yes, that's right. I don't know if anyone pays attention to social media sometimes the way that I do, but I kind of thought The Inevitables had disappeared because not too long ago, I noticed that their entire social media on Instagram just was gone. Just no post, nothing. And I'm like, oh, okay. I was really excited to hear the next installment. Well, guess what? They didn't go away. So yes, on November 24th, The Inevitables announced a new single called Chemist. Along with this, they also announced they would be releasing a new album on Bad Time Records in the summer of 2024, and the new single is called Chemist, and we're going to listen to a clip of it right now. So here is The Inevitables with Chemist. So, yes, I'm excited about the return of the Inevitables. I just love the first record. And if you haven't checked it out, you should check that out. And you should check out the comic that came along with it. It's pretty cool. So I'm hoping for a chapter 2 and a continuation of that. It is super awesome. And yeah, you know what? Because we are so excited about A Rose Such a Clatter, Scott in Your Stockings, we decided we were going to give you a second clip from a song off the album because we are so excited. So this is Millington with their version of You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch. So let's check it out.
You're a mean one.
Yes, I am.
Mr. Grinch, you really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel. You're a monster, Mr. Grinch. Your heart is an empty hole. Your brain is full of spiders. You've got garlic in your soul, Mr. Grinch. I wouldn't touch you with a 39 and a half foot pole.
Yes, that is Millington with You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch. That will come out on A Rose Such a Clatter, Scott in Your Stockings, on Friday, December 1st. Get it at our Bandcamp. There will be a link in the show notes for this episode. Before we get out of ska news, we do have another story, something we want to share with you. So for those of you who listen to the show pretty regularly, a few months ago we had Tim Snow on from Ningguid Records. And they are putting on a holiday festival show, well, a holiday show in St. Louis, Missouri. And so a new Midwest Scholidays tradition will be featuring Orange Tree, courtesy of Tim, and the Tiki Brawlers. Doors are at 7 p.m., show starts at 8. It'll be at the Red Flag concert venue, and this is an all ages show, and tickets are $11, and it is on Friday, December 15th. So if you're in that area, you should check out that show because it sounds exciting. It really does. So Bex, let's talk Joystick. So Becky, the last time you were on this podcast, you were in a completely different band, and how did you end up in Joystick?
So yeah, I love telling this story because it's such a, like, I don't want to call it like a testament to the community and like how tight knit it has become through social media, but it totally is. I became internet friends with Flying Raccoon Suit when running social media for Backyard Superheroes back in the day, and Flying Raccoon Suit came up to the Northeast spring of 2022 for their tour with Stuck Lucky. So I said, all right, let me go meet my friends. So went to go see them in New Jersey. And then at that point I got talking to Andrew, and Andrew was like, listen, I'm the only horn going on tour with Joystick this summer. So, cause Joystick has at full capacity, 5 horn players. Two of them have dad duties. And then one of them is a professional oyster shucker, which is like a wild career, but more on that later. So it was one of those things where Backyard and Joystick were sharing a show, and Andrew had said, hey, if you want to learn our set for the show, I'll send you charts and everything. I said, yeah, sure, of course. Like, I'm just happy to play, honestly. Like, that's just, I'm always down to clown, always down to play. I definitely have a hard time saying no when people ask me to jump in for these sorts of things. So Started learning the set. And then at this point, I had asked Andrew, it was maybe like a month or so before the tour. And the Northeast is so concentrated where you can be in one city. You can go from one city to another within an hour and a half, 2 hours. So I had said, listen, if you want more horn reinforcement for that week, I'm happy to tag along if you guys want me to. If you don't, that's cool too. But, you know, let me know. And they said, yeah, you know, we'd love to have you. So hung out with Joystick for an entire week. And it was wild too, because like I'd never met any of them in real life before besides Andrew. And even then I had met him 2 months prior to the tour. So it was one of those things where like, we just hit it off right away. And like, I don't know, the chemistry was definitely there right away, which was cool between myself and the entire band. So yeah, they got home from that tour and that was when Duck spilled the beans to me saying, hey, we have something in the works. Do you have a way to record remotely? And I was like, yeah, actually I do. So that's how that went. But like the first day I was hanging out with them, they were asking me, they're like, do you want to play Fest with us? Which has been a bucket list, you know, thing of mine for a while. And I'm like, I first I laughed in Andrew's face and I felt really bad about it afterwards. Cause I was like, oh, you really meant it. Cause he was like, he's like, oh, just let us know by the end of the week. I was like, okay. So it was just like, it was one of those things. And the second day I was hanging out with them, Duck was like, hey Bex, you got your passport? And I was like, why, where am I going, Duck? And he goes, Pooza next year. So I was like, okay. I'm like, I don't have my passport yet, but I will, like, yeah. Sure. So yeah, it's been history ever since. And like, it's been so much fun hanging with them. I mean, they just are like the goofiest, most wholesome group of people I've like ever played music with. But like, still when you, it's wild though, when you listen to their music, cause you're like, nah, these aren't the same guys. No, they are, you know, we have a blast everywhere we go. I've definitely learned a lot about these guys from going on basically every tour with them this year. I don't think I've actually missed a show with them, besides a wedding that they played. So, but the good thing about having five horn players is that you can tag in and tag out as you need to. So, Andrew and I kind of just like do most of the touring and the rest of the guys come around when they can. So works out.
Awesome. So what is it, what's it been like, with like traveling for, you know, these shows when, you know, most of the band is sort of, or the band's officially out of New Orleans and you're out of New Jersey. How does that go for you in traveling?
So it definitely adds up, but it's worth it though. I mean, I don't do a whole lot of like leisurely travel. So for me, I'm kind of like, this is my leisurely travel.
Right. Go with the band.
I've definitely mastered the art of traveling on a budget. I've definitely learned how to not overpay for flights. I'm now a frequent flyer. So that's my adulting accomplishment here. But, I do like to play hard. I work pretty hard to play even harder. So, awesome. It's one of those things where I just kind of like, I'm glad I have the day job because then at least, and the side job, cause then at least I can like invest in myself and in traveling too. But, I mean, there will be periods of the year though where it's like we don't really have a whole lot going on. So like, we'll do like a week of tour, like, or at least this year I should say, we did a week long tour with Jer and Bad Operation that went from New Orleans to Dallas, Texas. So that was like 4 days worth of shows, 5 days worth of shows. Next thing after that wasn't for another month and a half when we did our 2.5 week tour of Flying Raccoon Suit. Next thing after that wasn't until June when we did 2 days of the Bad Time Tour and the New Orleans Block Party that Community Records hosted historically every year. And I'm pretty sure they brought it back for this year. And then even then after that, like next thing wasn't until, gosh, what was the next show? Next show after that, I think was, I made an appearance in September. That's what it was. Hans Gruber and the Diehards was rolling through. And they went to New Orleans. They were in the Northeast like 3 days before that. And we had shared a show with them. But that was a weeknight show. I remember specifically Andy was like, you don't have to come down for that. And I was like, okay, well, I'm not planning on it because I had tickets to see Death Cab for Cutie and the Postal Service. the night of the New Orleans Hans Gruber and the Die Hard show. Then about 2 weeks before the show, Duck calls me and he goes, "Hey, I know it's last minute, but can you come down for this show? We want to shoot our music video for Boxes that week." And I was like, okay. So, but it was worth it. We had a blast. And then after that was Fest. So it's, you know, it sounds like a lot, but like when I look at the calendar on paper, it's not as much as one would think, which is nice. And then, yeah, I mean, we have a couple things coming up. So we have a show next week, actually, that I'll be flying down for, and then another one in January, and then nothing for a while after that, as far as I know of. So, right. You know, just trying to balance it out. But fortunately, like, the day job is fully remote, so I can work from anywhere. I've brought my computer with me on the road and worked from the front seat of the van and worked from my bandmates' houses and things like that. So
yeah, you make it work. But, yeah,
exactly. You know, and it's like they're just so cooperative with, like, where it's one of those things in the band chat. I'll be like, "All right, who wants to house me this time?" So, and usually I'll have at least two or three of them going, "Yeah, I can do that." Awesome. They're like, "All right, cool. That's awesome. I get to take my pick."
So you all released a new EP. It came out on November 14th, and it's called Dwell. What can you tell us about this new EP?
So yeah, this one, so it's the first recording that I'm on with Joystick, which is awesome.
And that's all that matters. It's all anyone needs to know. Interview. Oh, no.
That's it. No further comments about this EP. Just listen to the damn thing and buy it. Nah, just kidding. No, I can't take any songwriting credit. Sure. This was all Duck. So it's definitely very much an EP about reflection on your life and also just kind of like how you can manage the current day as well. But yeah, it's definitely, it's what you'd expect from Joystick. Joystick does so much, especially Duck's writing. I admire so much even being in the band, because it's just the way that his brain is able to string together thoughts, and especially even particularly heavy thoughts, and the way that he can string them together so eloquently and make them so relatable for so many situations other than maybe just one or two that he's talking about. I just have so much like respect, appreciation, and like a little bit of envy for. So, and there's a lot of that on this EP as well. But yeah, this was, in terms of like getting this written and recorded, I honestly had no idea what any of these songs sounded like by the time Duck even got them to me. It was my first time listening to any of these when he sent them to me. So recording them, like not knowing anything about them, was like a little scary for me, because I'd never done anything like that before. But also, historically speaking, like, I was usually the first person to record horn parts in anything I recorded, just because Barry Sax, at least for me, in the way that I compose and the way that I arrange my parts, is very much like not necessarily imitating the bass guitar, but at least that gives a good starting point for where I'm going to go with that. And not necessarily where the rest of the horns are going to go, but at least trying to fit all those puzzle pieces together. Yeah. For this, though, all of the horns had recorded their parts by the time I got the tracks. So it was like, okay, well, there's already a lot going on here. How can I fit this piece in? Like, how can I make this still have a place that's not like completely unison parts or anything like that? But also, how can I continue to give this like the New Orleans brass band Joystick flair that everyone's kind of like expecting, or that everybody has come to expect from any of our releases? So, but yeah, these songs are honestly like, they're heavy hitters. They'll make you sit and think about things, I think, anyway. And yeah, there's a nice variety of things between a different direction from what people are used to. So like when Boxes was released, I received a couple comments from people going, "Oh, you're going the power pop route with this." And I was like, "Yeah, you know what? I guess we are." And then you hear songs like LFG and House Guests, and then you're like, "Oh, okay, yep, that's Joystick." And then you hear Note to Self, and then you're kind of like, "All right, this is like, you know, a little bit more on the mellow side for what Joystick historically has done, but still like a great message, a great tune, catchy horn hooks." So, but don't take my word for it. If you haven't listened to it, just give it a listen. Well, let us know what you think.
We are going to listen to Note to Self. What can you tell us about this song?
Note to Self is really just the way that Duck has described it is really just a reflection on that. Sometimes life has a way of just like doing things and dropping things in your lap and just kind of like helping you find your way without really having to look for it. But in the chorus, it's really just everything will be okay, no matter what. So it's a message of hope, I think. Well, obviously, yes, it is a message of hope. But also, like, it's a nice, swift reminder for anybody who needs it that, like, it's never the end. Falling down is never the end. There's always a way to get back up. It's the most Scott thing you could do is pick it up, pick it up, pick it up. There it is. I will see myself out now.
All right, so we're going to listen to Note to Self by Joystick, and then we will come back and chat some more. Here we go.
Careful what you wish for. It might fall in your lap. I struggle not to ignore just where my feet are at. So when I feel my mind is slipping sideways, all I know I keep to dread. Proud of what I've accomplished and how far I've come, but sometimes I still dwell on things I haven't done. So when I feel my thoughts are ripping away, all I know I feel to trip it. I'll say everything will be okay. Everything will be okay. Everything will be okay. Everything will be okay.
Awesome. So does Joystick have a particular rule or guideline when it comes to like horns in a song, like, you know, so like Five Iron Frenzy, I know their horn section has, they kind of have a no solo policy, but that's like a very loose policy. They mostly, most of their songs, they're very together. There are the occasional solos that have mixed, have popped up throughout the years when they very much, but, and I'm not looking for that specific rule, but like, is there any guiding forces for Joystick when it comes to, you know, making horns? Making horns, is it?
I wouldn't say that there is a particular guideline. So at least with this EP, from what I understand, Duck kind of went in and like started humming and singing horn lines. And so the horn players just kind of took what Duck was like coming up with and cooking and ran with it. To the point of, you know, Duck finally saying, oh yeah, that's the line. I think I like that. And Duck is also a very easy to please front man too. So it's one of those things where as long as it like sounds together and as long as it fits in a way that also kind of preserves the Joystick identity. Because when you think about New Orleans, you think brass band, you think a little bit of klezmer influence, but then you also think heavy thrashy punk rock and ska core influence there. So just finding a way to balance the two, really all of those elements and make it sound unique. Because the cool thing about ska core is that, like, I don't think there are any two bands that really sound the same. And I definitely don't think there are any two horn sections that sound the same. So it's kind of cool to see who all can put what kind of flair on these tunes. And Joystick definitely being one of the few Gulf Coast bands that sound the way we do. You kind of can't help but like put some brass band spin on it, and also because like Andrew and I believe Josh, our other trombone player, I'm pretty sure the two trombone players do play or have played in brass bands, Andy for sure. So like the brass band influence is like so there, and like they were doing that for weekends, at least Andy was doing that for weekends pretty much every weekend for years up until recently, you know, to make some extra money. So you just kind of like, I don't know, you want to have that in these tunes to give it some extra identity.
Yeah.
But other than that, in terms of like guidelines and rules, like Duck has already told me, he's like, I want more Barry Sax solos. I was like, oh God, I hate soloing. And he knows this, but he's still like, I want more. And I'm like, okay, only because I like you.
Is there a particular reason you don't like soloing? Is it like you don't like you soloing, or you don't like solos in other songs?
I don't like doing it. I love when other people solo. Sure. So like poor Andy, I'm always telling Andy, I'm like, can you please take this? I'm like, or anytime like someone asks us to jump up, like recently we had played with Joker's Republic, and so they don't have any horns, but on Necessary Evil, the track, not the full album, but the track that is on the album,
right.
They had Buddy from Less Than Jake play a horn line. So recently on this last tour that they did, they finally had a couple horn friends pop up and play. And one of them was me and Andy at the New Orleans show. So Austin was even saying, he's like, oh, if you want a solo instead of me playing the guitar solo, I was like, nah, bro, you keep your solo, keep your damn solo. I don't want it. But I think Andy actually ended up taking it, and Andy just like, he's a great player. So that's why I'm like, yeah, let's go. And he also just like, there's just something about his trombone tone too, where I'm just like, yes, yes, more of this. Like he riffs these solos, and I'm just like, it blows my mind every single time. Yeah. And it's just so fun to watch him solo. But even on these tracks too, Josh also solos, and he's an incredible horn player. He's not even a musician by day. And he's just like, you would never think that he has like a real adult day job doing other things that aren't music, just because of like the insane talent between both of these guys. So but no, I don't like to solo on my own, which basically means I need more practice at it. My horn currently lives in Mississippi with Andy. So that way I don't have to keep lugging it for the time being.
Okay. He's not like holding it ransom or for anything. You don't,
I think he told me that if I want it back, I probably have to pay him in about 5 pounds of banana Laffy Taffy. That seems reasonable to me.
Yeah, sure, sure. Laffy Taffy, that's a normal thing that people eat. I don't think I've thought about Laffy Taffy in decades.
Oh, this is a running joke with us because I learned, Andy and I both learned fairly recently that Brent is not a big fan of banana Laffy Taffy. Mm. He says that anything artificial banana flavored is repulsive. So it started like this mini feud between like the Omnigon camp, because the both of us have played with Omnigon before. Right. And yeah, so anytime I see Brent now, I always have a banana Laffy Taffy in my purse or my horn case. And I always just go, hey, man, you want one? And he goes, no, thanks. And then I'm like, but did you look at it? And he goes, oh, you know, screw off. Like, but Andy and I are very much like team banana Laffy Taffy. So,
all right.
But no, Andy's just hanging on to my horn because he's a good guy. A mensch, if you will. Right. Hanging on to my horn.
Well, that's going to make it really difficult to practice then.
It does, yeah, but
you just hum it in your head. You just
actually,
imagine.
Yeah. So
just imagine, I mean, just, where your fingers go. Like, just imagine it.
I mean, yeah, there's the air playing it, but I mean, you know, with Barry Sachs, there's a great deal of transposing.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I mean, we'll see. We have a show coming up next week, and if these guys throw any surprises at me, I guess I'm just gonna have to wing it, which is fine. That's part of the thrill. But I always humbly ask no surprises if we can help it.
So like right now, for the most part, is your guys' set list like very locked and sort of,
oh yeah,
pretty prepared? And so no, out of the ballpark. Hey, we're going to play this one song off an album that came out 10 years ago.
that did happen at Fest last year. And I was not prepared. I learned two songs during soundcheck and we only played one of them. And even actually, yeah, last year, yeah, at least once per show, they'll go, okay, we're going to play this one. And I'm like, I didn't practice this one, but I guess I'll do it live.
Fuck it. I'll do it live.
Yeah. That's showbiz, baby.
I mean, if it sounds terrible, not my fault.
I mean, that's the great thing about ska, is that it is kind of forgiving. It's like, you know,
sure. Yeah.
That's terrible advice. Nobody should listen to my advice. anyway.
So I noticed that, so the if you want to buy a physical copy of Dwell from Bad Time Records, you can buy it. It's on a 12-inch vinyl. But it only has 4 songs on it. What's on the other side? Don't give me this mystery box thing, whatever. Tell us what's on the other side.
It is a, man, I can't spoil the surprise for everybody. Well, it's not a song. I will tell you that.
Is it, but it is beatboxing for like 40 minutes?
I'm going to say yes.
Because that sounds great.
That does sound great. Actually, it's him telling stories about growing up in Texas.
Oh, that sounds like a great B-side.
Yeah, and it's him doing his duck yell. Which I was practicing in the car on the way here when he told me that he was going to be joining. I was like, it's okay, man. I got the duck imitation down. It'll be like you're there.
yeah.
So.
Okay. So you're not going to spoil it. Fair enough.
I'm not going to spoil the beans, but if you ever wanted to learn more about Joystick, you should check out that B-side because it's fun. It's just like being with us.
Yeah. So, you mentioned, I think you said one of your early shows with Joystick was, it would have been Fest of 2022, correct?
Yeah.
How was the most, you all played the most recent Fest in just late October of this year. How did that go?
We sure did. It was awesome. Fest is a really, really cool festival, and I will like always sing the Fest praises. They don't pay me to say these things. I just get really, really, really hyped when the Fest season comes around. Just so we're completely straight here. But no, it's like, it's such a cool festival. Because everybody's just like so kind, and like, no matter what kind of music you're into, there is something for everyone, which rocks. And the whole city of Gainesville, all things considered, is like kind of a small city. It's not like LA, it's not like New York City, it's not like anything like that. It's a nice small compact little college town. So the whole city just like is flooded by punks and DIYers and metalheads and food, and it's like it's just great. So we just we really love playing Fest. It's basically, the best way I can describe it is like a big family vacation where everyone is in the same place at the same time, because just getting to hang out with everyone is cool as hell. Like all the bands that are selected to play are super, super, super good. And it's just, it's nice. If you get like kind of tired and burned out of being in one place for too long, all you have to do is just walk a couple blocks, not even, maybe half a block, and you're at a completely different venue with a completely different set of bands that are playing. You might even get to see a comedy showcase. You might get to see some wrestling. Like it's a lot of fun.
Oh, I did not know that they had those things there at all.
Yeah, yeah. So the comedy showcase is cool. I know Chris Gethard is usually there. Brandy Posey also has made an appearance a couple times. Anna Valenzuela, I think I said her last name right, also has performed. And it's just like, it's a whole lineup of just comedy showcases. And it's really cool too, because a lot of these comics seem to be very into the music. So when they're not performing or anything like that, like they'll also just be hanging out at some of these sets. So funny enough, that's how I met Brandy, and that's how I met Anna last year. And this year I met Anna for the first time too. So, cause they were all at the ska sets, and Anna this year was like, wait, you were in Joystick. I'm like, yeah. She's like, I love you so much. And I was like, oh, you know who I am. Oh my God. Like, you know, even like just talking about like other bands too, like we all bonded over Folly at some point this Fest. But it's just, it's really cool. Like I said, something for everyone at Fest. Even if you don't like hardcore, like my partner is not into ska, but he is very much like a hardcore dude. So I've even told him, like, you don't have to stay at the ska shows the whole time. You can go wander. You can go, like, you know, throw some elbows and do some spin kicks at the hardcore show if you want. It didn't work on him this year. He did have to work all weekend, but there's always hope for next year. We'll see. But yeah, Fest is just, it's super, super cool. For anyone who's like ever thought about going to Fest, honestly, highly recommend. Even if you go alone, like, it's just such a cool, cool experience. And like, if you are not going with friends, guaranteed you will make a friend or like five, because everyone is there for the music. Everyone is like super well behaved. I had another friend, funny enough, a couple friends of mine who came down to Fest for the first time this past Fest last month. And so one of them was texting my partner being like, I wish you were here. Like, everybody here is so, so, so kind. It was funny. My partner was like, I hate kind people. Just being like sassy the way he is. Man. Like, but like literally have never had an issue with like anybody acting like, you know, out of line at Fest or, you know, just being a jerk. Like everyone's just really cool. And the city's great. Like I said, there's so much good food.
So, yeah.
And like, the whole city just,
I definitely hear a lot of positive things out of Fest, and both on being a band performing there and on just being an audience member. So, yeah, it sounds exciting. So you've had a handful of shows. Are you keeping count? Do you know how many shows you played with Joystick?
I have lost count already.
So if you right now had some, for whatever reason, weren't gonna play with Joystick anymore for whatever reason, just, you know, whatever, doesn't matter, what would be your show highlight right now?
This is a tough one, because we've done so many cool shows over the past year. Like Fest was one of those things where I knew what to expect. Honestly, I would have to say the highlight for me would be the New Orleans Date of the Bad Time tour, which coincided with Community Records Block Party. And so, yeah, because that was held at Tipitina's, which is a pretty legendary rock venue, rock and blues venue throughout, you know, within New Orleans. And it was so cool. Like everything about it, was just, the vibe was there. All of the bands were so good. Everyone was just like very happy to be there. They had like a couple food trucks set up outside, which is great because New Orleans has like some of the best food. And it just, yeah, everything about it was cool. And it was also just such a diverse lineup too. The day had started out with a couple community records bands, who were like more on the mellow side, like a little acoustic. But like a couple of them were local. So some of the Joystick guys were like, oh, you got to watch this band. They're going to melt your face off. And sure enough, like everybody just brought it. But then once the Bad Time block came around, I mean, we kind of played like out of sync with the rest of the block, which was fine. Considering like we were the locals, but I mean, the room was just packed for all of the Bad Time bands. Like it was cool. The energy in the room was awesome. I'm pretty sure it was Cat Bite's first time ever playing New Orleans too. So that was like super special for them, but yeah, everything about it was just super cool. And we had a pretty late night the night before in Atlanta. And even despite that too, like running the show with no sleep was still just like, it was just an experience. It was so cool. And also like there were so many people who traveled into New Orleans from out of town just to see the block party. Probably had something to do with the fact that Fatter Than Albert had like reunited to play the block party too, which I never thought I would see in my lifetime. And I did. And it was so freaking cool. Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I think that says highlight to me. So, yeah.
So, what does Joystick have coming up in the very near future between now and say the end of the year, maybe early January?
Yeah. So, next week, so, December 4th, 7th, hold on, let me look at the calendar. I believe it's December 7th. Yes, December 7th. That's a Thursday. So for anyone who is in New Orleans or just like thinking about going to New Orleans for whatever reason, we are having our EP release show with Bad Operation.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, that's going to be cool as hell. We don't get to play with them as much as we'd like to, but those dudes are so solid and like they've just been like super supportive of us. And really, really hyping us up. And we're so stoked to have them on this bill with us. So yeah, Thursday, December 7th in New Orleans at Chickiwawa, we'll be having our EP release show. We have something up coming up in January that I'm not sure I can talk about just yet, but it is another New Orleans show.
Okay.
So if you're New Orleans local, stay tuned because we should be announcing that fairly soon as well. So, and then after that, we don't really have anything going on. I think we're going to be taking some time to work on some new material after that.
Yeah. Yeah. When Duck reached out initially, by the way, we've kind of mentioned it, not mentioned it. Duck was supposed to be here tonight, but unfortunately, life did not go that way, unfortunately.
I believe he is traveling. I think there was something that went down at the New Orleans airport with someone like hopping out of an airplane or something like that as it was like taxiing. I don't know.
That's not what you want to hear.
It's not great. No, but I'm pretty sure that is when he told me that he was stuck in a travel delay in New Orleans. And then I turned on the news at my parents' house earlier and I heard that. I was like, huh, maybe that's it.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. So yeah, Duck was supposed to be here, and he initially said that like even this EP kind of came out of nowhere to him. But I'm like, dude, you wrote it. What do you mean? But it did seem to come up very quickly, and so I'll be interested to see you all what else Joystick has coming. That's because I always like, you know, little EPs, because when was the last Joystick album? It was 2021, I think.
2021, yep.
Yeah. So you get this EP that sort of like holds you over, and then hopefully maybe a full length. So of course, cool things happening with Joystick. And of course, before we head out, we do have Ska Picks of the Week. Why don't you tell us about your Ska Pick,
Becky? Yeah, oh my gosh, what did I pick? I picked for this week, I've been listening to a lot of everything, so bear with me here. I picked a Manipulator song. Mine is How to Live, How to Die by the Manipulators out of Philadelphia.
Ooh, all right, let's check it out. Might help if I turn up the volume so listeners can hear it. Here we go. Okay, that sounds awesome. I've never heard of this band, so I'm definitely going to have to check them out.
Yeah, they were a new-ish discovery for me. I think I only saw them popping up in the New Jersey Philly scene right about this time last year. But Joker's Republic just ripped a gig with them last weekend in Trenton, New Jersey. And yeah, they brought it. Like, they blew me away. I think I've seen them once before that. But like, there was something about like this last week where I was like, ooh, okay, time to dig right in. So, yeah, highly recommend checking them out live, but also, yeah, the song just rips.
Yeah. All right. So, you know what? I'm going to do something we've never done before. Since Duck was supposed to be here, Duck told me, his Ska Pick of the Week. I had it all prepared and I like this, song and I like the album that it's off of. So we're just going to go with it. Even though Duck isn't here to tell you why he likes the song or why he picked it, but it's a good song, so you should know about it. So it's from the band Power Up, featuring Death by Stereo. It's the song called Corner/Office, and let's listen to a clip. Here we go. Clearly, Duck picked it because it's awesome, so that's why.
You know what? It makes me glad we didn't even like talk about what our picks were for this, but I was going to pick King Kong by Power Up too.
Oh yeah!
So now I'm like a little glad that I didn't pick Power Up.
That would have been a Power Up block.
We love those guys so much. We got to play with them in Connecticut back in May on the FRS tour. And I mean, like, I've been a big fan of these guys for a while, but to like really see them like come up and just like kick ass and take names over the past like year and a half, 2 years, like, it's just awesome.
Yeah.
I kind of was like, where have I been? Like, obviously I wasn't on the same train, especially because like they're from Connecticut. I'm from New Jersey. Like, you would think that there's like a little bit more like cohesion there in the past, but
sure.
You know, Ska internet has really made it so that it's like there is a lot more of damn, why have I never like seen you guys before? Why have I never heard you guys before?
Yeah, yeah.
And definitely making it like a better late than never, but also happy to have you sort of thing.
Yep.
Yeah, I friggin' we love those dudes so much.
All right. So speaking of a band that I was late to the party to, the Pomps. They released The Bottom of the Pumps this year from Bad Time Records on Bad Time Records. And I want to play for you my ska pick. This is a song called Grudges.
Defined by their anger, defined by their judgments, defined by a need for success. But they can't get the record to press. Your life and times have always been defined by who you love, who you hate, who you abuse and deceive. But not me.
So yeah, I love this record a lot. It's definitely one of my favorites from this year. And
you're never gonna believe this.
What?
I almost picked a Pomp song as like my backup to the.
Wow.
I would have honestly, I would have just fallen over in my chair though if like you were gonna play a Tip the Van song, because that was like my other. next backup. As you can see, I'm really trying to keep with the whole Northeast ska amplification here, but that's so funny. As soon as you said the Pomps, I was like, oh my gosh. But that album rocks though, and those guys were also like a total delight to have playing on a couple of our last week of tour shows up here. They were just like so kind, so sweet, and just like so nice to hang out with.
Yeah, Alex always goes out of his way to say hi to us, whether he's actually, I've never seen him with the Pomps, so he's always coming through his with Big D. So anytime he's out here, it's great to see him. And I do love the reason, part of the reason I love the album. So as I've talked about on the show before, I'm very much a ska punk person. Ska core person, heavier sounds when it comes to ska. Mostly because sometimes I feel that slower ska can be very repetitive and doesn't. Mm-hmm. But this is an album that is not repetitive. From how, you know, different instruments picking up at different times and where keyboards come in and out of. And so it's always moving to me. So even though the bass structure of it might just, it, like if I were just listening to the guitar part, it might be very similar throughout the song, but because of the way it gets structured, that I never get bored. It's always moving. And so part of the reason I like ska punk is because it does go back and forth between those things. So I never get worn out. And then there's bands like Millington, I think, who like, they'll go through four or five genres of rock and roll within a song, and I'm like, okay, I'm tired now. I'm just tired. But yeah, that's part of the reason I love it, and the melodies and sort of the new age feel and stuff. I love the Pomps. They're great. Well, Becky, thank you for hanging out. I can't talk. I appreciate it. Thank you for joining us this week.
Yeah, thanks for having me again. I know it's been a minute, so if you...
It's been a minute, yes. Oh, no. We're freezing. What's happening? Oh, wait. We're back. Oh, internet connection is unstable. Well, screw you, computer.
Okay, mine was doing the same thing. That's why I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Where did he go?
Who's to blame? Who knows? It's probably all of it. The computer's taking over.
It's RJ's fault.
Yeah, it's RJ's fault. Somehow his broken internet has just infected this Zoom call, and it's all ruined. But so where's before we head out, where's the best place to follow Joystick online?
So I run their Twitter. So we are joystick504ska on Twitter, X, whatever you decide to call it, for however long that website will try to keep running.
Right.
The wheels are slowly falling off. but yeah, we're on Facebook. I believe we are Joystick Ska on Facebook. And then Instagram, we always have multiple of us. I'm pretty sure half the band has Instagram access. So we are always, always, always posting on there and sharing stuff. We are Joystick Nola on there.
Well, awesome. So everyone, make sure you go check out Joystick's new EP, Dwell. It's out right now on all streaming platforms, and you can order a physical copy on 12-inch vinyl. Four songs of the EP on the A side, and whatever mystery thing on the B side. So make sure you check that out from Bad Time Records. And Becky, once again, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Listeners, thank you so much for listening. And until next time, keep listening to ska. You've been listening to On the Upbeat. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you get all the new episodes as soon as they're available. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at On the Upbeat Ska. Follow our Spotify playlist, Ska Favorites. It features all the songs heard on the show. Please consider joining our Patreon. Visit patreon.com/ontheupbeatska to sign up today. And thank you for supporting On the Upbeat.